Welcome to More Than Wealth with Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins from the Gold Wealth Management Group. In this podcast, we help business executives, business owners, and high net worth individuals navigate the multifaceted world of wealth planning. No matter how complex the situation, we provide financial advice and guidance to instill greater confidence in pursuing your life's goals. By leveraging the vast resources of UBS and collaborating with a team of external specialists, we'll delve into both basic and complex planning topics. Beyond the numbers, we'll also explore the stories behind the wealth. By interviewing business owners and thought leaders in our community, we aim to share insightful and inspiring tales of success. Join us on this journey where we explore wealth and the compelling stories behind it on More Than Wealth.
Welcome back to More Than Wealth. I'm Darren Gold, and here, as always, with my co-host, Samantha Hotchkins. And today, we're discussing a very important component to our practice, discovery meetings. But Sam, before we get started, how about these new digs?
I'm loving it. So Darren and I are recording together in this same professional studio for the first time. Some technical issues per usual, but we're excited to be here together in Quincy, Massachusetts, just outside the city of Boston.
Yep, and no dogs barking in the background, no trains going by.
I didn't have to rearrange my living room for this episode, so we're very excited. Yeah. All right, Darren, let's jump in. Let's talk about why. Why are we talking about discovery meetings today?
I'm glad you asked, Sam. So the discovery meeting really sets the tone for the relationship with our clients. It's not only the very first meeting, but we believe that is one of the most important meetings that we'll have with clients. So let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So typically, prospective clients are referred to us through their current CPA or from another one of our clients. And you know, after they reach out, that initial contact, we schedule an introductory call with the prospective client. And one of the things we do, which I think is very different, very unique, is before we schedule that introductory call, we send out what we call our 10 questions. And you know, we understand that before a conversation with somebody about your finances, you're talking to an advisor that you've never met, you don't know from a hole in the wall, and you're potentially going to be talking about things, very personal things. So we want to prepare these prospective clients with something we call 10 questions. And those 10 questions allow them some information to ask us. So the questions that we send them are, what makes us different? What will we cover during this initial discovery conversation? And we also prepare them with questions that we will ask them. So, before we have that initial introductory call, they are very well positioned and we arm them with information. So going in, to us, that really sets the tone for that initial conversation.
Because if you think about it, it's truly like a two-way interview. We're interviewing them to see if they're a good fit. They're interviewing us to see if it's a good fit for them and their family. So Darren, what makes a good fit? Like what would move the progression to that discovery meeting?
Yeah. So, chemistry, I think, is so important. So, at this stage in our careers, I mean, we want to work with people that we get along with. We want to work with people, obviously, that treat us with respect. And we're not looking to work with clients that simply want us to, take their money and double it. That's not what we do. So right off the bat, I think you can just tell. You can just pick up just in the way that first introductory call goes, whether or not we'll be a good fit. And, I also think that, given the scope of the work that we do, I think it's important that the prospective client has significant planning needs. And it's not just about investments. So we're going to be talking about all aspects of their financial life. And we're looking to identify whether there's opportunity to really make a difference in the prospective client's life. So that's a big part of that introductory call.
Yeah. You always say we're not the low cost provider and we're truly not. So we talk about fees. We talk about how we make money. And I find that I have pride with that conversation because we're so open, right? Yeah, we're not the low cost provider. That's not the value that we bring. So we want to make sure that it's beneficial to both parties.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a really important point. So we really don't compete on price. We compete on value. We offer a tremendous amount of value to our clients. So we've scheduled that initial introductory call. Let's move on to the next step. So providing that initial call goes well, and we do determine that we're both a good fit, we then move on to the discovery meeting. So Sam, you want to talk a little bit about first step in terms of the discovery?
So the discovery is the funnest part of this whole process. So it's going to be a 90-minute, preferably in-person meeting with both partners, both spouses, mandatory. And there we dive into what I like to call fluff questions. So let's talk about those seven components of the discovery meeting.
Yeah. So when you think about it, there are really two kind of key overarching themes. And one is obviously we need to know about the assets, the cash flow, talking a little bit about their investments, the financial aspect. But, you know, there's also kind of that interior information. It's you want to know about their life. We want to know about their kids. We want to know about what previous experience they've had with maybe other advisors or money in general. So the questions that we ask, we actually have 90 questions. Thankfully, we do not go through all 90 questions. But, you know, from that initial introductory call, we're starting to put together a list of questions that we think will be appropriate, you know, during that discovery meeting. So the categories that we ask are relationships. We want to know not just, their immediate family, but what other relationships are important in their life, whether it be their community, their extended family, or maybe, you know, schools that are important to them or other, charitable causes that are important to them. We want to know about their values, of course, their goals. We want to know about their assets. We ask about process. Process is really key. Not everybody wants to interact with us the same way. And I think about, some people want to be updated maybe, you know, quarterly. Others want a little bit more active communication. So it's really important to understand how often, and then how they want to be communicated with as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, some people want just an email. Other people pick up the phone, just give me a call. I'm usually available Monday morning. So we kind of write that down and make sure that we're communicating as best as possible because we know everyone is busy. We're busy, you're busy. So we want to make sure that communication is key.
Yeah, and I think absolutely. And going into this initial discovery meeting, one of the things that I think gets lost a lot of times is, you know, we're meeting with people we've never met before. They're coming in to talk about their finances, really rolling up their sleeves and digging into their finances. And the reality is most people probably haven't done that or haven't done it to the depth that we're going to do it. So we really understand that that can cause a lot of anxiety in that first conversation. So right off the bat, we want to create kind of a safe environment and just let them know we're not here today during discovery to talk about investments. We're not here to sell anything. This is all about you. We want you to sit back and relax and we'll go through these questions. And I think, you know, a lot of times conversations are happening between a husband and wife that have never happened.
It's my favorite part to watch their reaction when we ask a question and like, oh yeah, you go first, and to listen. And they're like, really? I had no idea. I didn't know you felt about that, about your purpose of your wealth or what we're here for. You know, it's a very cool conversation. And I think it's so beneficial for us, but more so for the prospects that are sitting next to us right now.
It's funny. I mean, a lot of times, you know, when we have these meetings, one of the things we remind ourselves is that, you know, this is about the prospective clients. And as much as we want to flex and show how smart we are and put together investment strategies, you know, we really have to remind ourselves, we shouldn't be talking nearly as much as them. And I think in our industry, I think you've got advisors that just tend to spend so much time talking and not as much time listening. And we really want to have that ratio be the other way around. We want to be sitting back and spending, you know, 70, 80% of the time just listening and resisting the urge to jump in and just let the spouses and the partners just have that conversation amongst themselves. And really is fun, like you say, to sit back and just watch that happen.
For sure. And there's sometimes like that uncomfortable silence where they're thinking about it. They're contemplating like, yeah, what is the purpose of my wealth? And yeah, just listening and taking it in and watching that kind of unfold, that conversation unfold. It's really powerful. All right, let's go through some of the questions that are our favorites to ask. And we'll start with value. So the first question that Darren will ask is, what's the purpose of your wealth? And I love it. Usually one person will, you go first. Like, I'll listen and see what you say. It's a really cool conversation.
You know, it's a question that I don't think we ask ourselves all that much. I mean, we just get so caught up in our day-to-day life. We go to work, we strive, we come home, we're taking care of the families, and it just becomes, you know, so methodical. of our daily lives. And we want to obviously be as successful as we can, but have you really sat back and thought about what am I doing? Why am I working so hard? What am I working towards? And of course, you know, everyone in the back of their minds has, you know, I want to retire at some point, but, you know, really starting to put goals, specific goals in writing, goals that we can start to work towards, that really, I think, opens up the conversation. And it's funny watching, like you say, you watch the spouses have that interaction, and it is really interesting, because a lot of times they don't really line up.
Right. Or they're painting a new picture, like you said, like they've never really thought. They know they want to retire, but what does retirement look like for them? When does that look like? How much are they going to be spending in retirement? So yeah, it's interesting. All right, let's talk about goals. What are some questions that we ask in regards to goals?
So you just mentioned one of them, and that is starting to talk about what their accomplishments are. And this is really helping us get a better understanding of who they are as people. You know, what drives them? What's their motivations? What are they most proud of? So one of the goals we ask is, what are your top accomplishments, both personal and professional? And then what would you like them to be? And again, same as the previous question, this is really going to elicit responses where you'll see the reactions from the spouses in terms of their surprise. And it really opens things up a little bit and creates a really nice conversation. And then we move on to, what would you like to do for your children, for your parents, for your community? You know, pretty basic questions, but again, having both spouses on board is, it's really an interesting conversation. And then another one, which is really important, that one of my favorite questions, is there anything happening in your life right now that could impact your financial future? Open-ended question, you know, they sit back, think about it, and, you know, we don't want to be surprised by something happening in the next 6 months or in the next year. Maybe they're going to buy a house. We really need to understand all of the inflows and the potential outflows that are going to take place over the near term, in the intermediate term. And then we move on to, how do you save money? Very basic question, but it gives us a good sense. I mean, we have some clients that we know are much better savers than others, right?
Yes.
And
so everyone spends less than they say.
100%. That is the truth. So understanding a little bit around, you know, what are your strategies for putting money away? Do you save first and then use whatever's left over to live? And this really gives us a pretty good sense. If you're not fully funding your 401k, but you do have the ability to do so, that tells us that, you know, maybe you're not on top of things financially as much as you should be, which is fine. I mean, that's why people are talking to us, but that really gives us a good sense, finding a little bit about how they save from month to month. And then we move on to fun conversations like life insurance, which is always great, right? Yeah, important. So risk management, not just life insurance, but we talk about what are their feelings towards long-term care and property casualty insurance, risk management. So all different concepts of risk management.
Because I will say, like, some people really have a strong opinion there. And we're like, okay, we'll check it off that they're not interested. Maybe we'll bucket it for a conversation down the road. But some people have a very strong opinion, which is very beneficial for us to know right off the bat.
Particularly around long-term care. More often than not, when we speak to prospective clients, they have an experience, either a good experience where there was long-term care in place, or the opposite, there wasn't long-term care in place. And they may be at that point in their life where they're helping to fund healthcare for their parents in the future. So that's an important question to ask.
Right.
So then we move on to talking about their current advisors. So this is important. You know, as wealth advisors, we really do quarterback all of the relationships that the clients have when it relates to their finances. So we want to know, how do you feel about your current estate attorney? You know, how do you feel about your current CPA or your insurance agent? We ask them to rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, that gives us a good sense of how they feel about the current team that they're working with. And in a lot of cases, I'd say that, you know, the estate attorney tends to be a little bit more transactional when they don't have a lot of conversations with them after they create, if they have created an estate plan. But they don't have as much interaction there. The CPA, you know, they're talking to on a little bit more of a regular basis, but helping us understand a little bit more about what that relationship is like and whether or not we'll be working with their current team, or perhaps we will be referring our extended team. We do have relationships with estate attorneys and CPAs that we work with regularly and we're very, very comfortable with. So if there's an opportunity where we may need to refer to them, some folks on our team, that's what we do.
And it's the reason there is we quarterback all these relationships. I think Darren always says that it's very siloed in this industry, that financial advisor does the wealth management, the estate attorney is focusing on the estate plan, then you have life insurance in that bucket. And we really all should be communicating. We need to be communicating with our CPA on a quarterly basis. We need to make sure that everything is titled properly. So we really quarterback those relationships. And so if they're bringing in great advisors that they want to continue working with, we're happy to championship that kind of relationship and continue working. And if they need kind of a referral, we're happy to also provide that to them.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a few of our relationships where we, as soon as we onboarded them, the first thing we did, we realized that their clients have other wealth advisors, right? We're working with significant wealth and a lot of our clients are very wealthy. So we understand that. And we really don't want to compete with them. We don't want to work in silos. I mean, if we're working for our clients' best interest, then we absolutely must be in contact with all of their other advisors. And one of the first things we'll do is reach out to, I can think of two instances recently, where we'll reach out to the other wealth advisor and they're surprised.
They are. They're really caught off guard. And it's like, we're not looking to do anything other than help our client run their money, you know, like that includes the assets outside of UBS, just making sure that a holistic approach is being taken with their financial plan.
Yeah, no, it works out great. And I think, you know, after they understand our intentions of working together and not competing with them, it really changes the dynamics of the relationship. And now we've got a system. So, you know, we do all of the planning and in a lot of cases, they'll do the investing. So we're going to use the plan at UBS to make decisions collectively and we collaborate together. Well, in a lot of cases, prospective clients are meeting with us because they maybe have outgrown their current advisor. They haven't had a great experience with their current advisor. And so an important question we ask is, you know, what have you always wanted from a financial advisor that you have never received? And, you know, these are questions that really set us up for success. And, you know, we get a lot of responses in terms of lack of contact, didn't really feel like their best interest was at heart. So understanding and really listening, it's back to that, you know, listen 70% and speak 30%. And, you know, Sam is furiously taking notes during this discovery process and just understanding, you know, we don't want to make the same mistakes that other advisors have made in the past.
And sometimes it's so simple, you know, like how did they not notice that or do that? So I think it's such an important question that can be really missed. And I think it's great that we asked it.
And then we move on to their interests. So when we ask prospective clients about their interests, what we're really trying to do is understand who they are as people, but also, you know, we have a very robust client experienced process where, you know, we really try to create an environment where we're not just providing financial advice. We want to have some fun along the way. So, you know, a lot of the client events we have during the year, whether they're Red Sox games, golf
cooking
events,
classes.
Cooking classes, all the virtual things we did during COVID. You know, at the end of the day, we understand, you know, talking finances constantly can be a bit mundane. So we try to really lighten things up a little bit in understanding more about that prospective client, what their interests are, you know, are they into wine? Do they like to travel? What are their sports teams? And that's always fun during the discovery process because we're kind of shifting gears from, you know, talking about the serious stuff into the fun stuff. So I think that's an important component is understanding what they like to do in their free time.
And then we wrap up with my favorite question that you always ask, Darren, which is?
You know, understanding, you know, what the client wants from us and asking the question so that, you know, we're not guessing going forward. And the question is, what has to go right in this relationship for you to consider it a success? And then we just shut up and just let them answer. And, you know, the answer is they do vary quite a bit. But I think at the end of the day, it typically comes back to we just want people to take our best interests and take care of us and just provide us, you know, with a good plan and help us achieve their goals. And more often than not, it's just about creating that relationship for them where they feel comfortable.
Working with their children is always really important. in, like you said, just communication and open lines of communication, I think.
Good. All right. So after this 90-minute discovery meeting.
Always goes 90 minutes, never shorter.
Sam has a notebook full of notes, and then she'll take that back. You want to talk a little bit about what happens next?
Yeah. So I collect all of that information and I create a document called the Total Client Profile, which is basically a map of all of those seven components that we've talked about on one document. And I send them a draft of it and we just say, hey, this is all the information, all the questions that you've answered compiled into one document. Zoom in because everything's very small. And we'll have them look it over. Did I miss something? Did I spell somebody's name incorrectly? We'll just make sure that everything looks good. And then we honestly, it's a great document for them, but it helps us so much because we have 120 families that we're in charge of working with, next generation, children, grandchildren. So it is impossible for us to know what your dog's name is, remember all the places that you traveled, all those little important pieces of information that we want to remember. And so that is just a working document that we always kind of refer back to, even when recommending investments, you know, what is their risk tolerance? So that's all there kind of out for us. So after we present that, then what do we do, Darren?
So we email out what we call a TCP, the Total Client Profile, to the client, ask them to confirm that the information is correct. And then once we get that information back and we confirm that their profile is correct, we then work on creating their wealth plan. So we're now digging into all the different components of their financial life. So that's cash flow management, investment strategy, liability, their giving strategy, what are their philanthropic intents, risk management, tax strategy. We work with their CPA to understand their tax situation, estate planning, making sure that their estate plan is up to date. So we put this together in what we call the financial goal analysis, which is their wealth plan. We also put together at that point their investment strategy. And then we schedule the next meeting, which is what we call the recommend and implement meeting. So during this meeting is where we present all of our recommendations. We use something called the action plan. And on that action plan, it not only explains to them what our recommendations are, but it also tells them why. It's very, very detailed, which I think is a bit different. So we're going to give a rationale to every single thing that we're doing. And we're also going to tell them who's going to do it, right? Because now we're quarterbacking these relationships. So we may be updating their estate plan. And that obviously is the responsibility of their estate attorney, of the insurance. We're working with our insurance agents. So that's going to be geared towards working with the tax, with their insurance agent. So the action item is great for us because it really provides a roadmap and it gives the prospective client a sense of why we're doing everything that we're doing.
And it's a good opportunity for us to make those introductions. So if they want to continue working with their CPA, we're reaching out to them and checking in on taxes. And I'm in charge of sending out all the 1099s, quarterly kind of gains and loss reports that we usually send to. So it's a good opportunity also for us to make those introductions to their other trusted advisors. Yeah.
No, it's an important part of the process for sure. So that's it. So now we're onboarding clients, hopefully, right? Yeah. I mean, we're onboarding clients at this point. Sam takes over and works her magic and, you know, starts to put together the onboarding package. You want to tell a little bit about that, just kind of high level?
So we kind of go over what we'll be transferring to UBS, what we'll be keeping outside of UBS, and the timeline, the time frame, setting them up with online services. It's really important. Both partners, both spouses have access, full access to their accounts online. We'll go over that. We'll review their first statements. So they'll get a kind of a time frame checklist of what I'm in charge of and expectations there. Just next steps and all of that.
And then after that, we get them into the cadence for review meetings and we're off and running. We'll see them at the first client event, the Red Sox game. Yeah. So that's our process. So like I said, we thought it would be something that would be worth highlighting. This is a very important part of what we do for clients, and it really does set the stage for the entire relationship. So thank you for listening. Any last comments, Sam?
No, this was a fun episode. We're glad to kind of walk people through it. It's definitely the best part of our job is to kind of walk through these questions with people and just sit back, listen, and take it all in. And hopefully they've learned some things from that conversation as well.
You know, something Sam and I talk about all the time. For years, I've always just been driven by exceeding expectations. And, you know, we're well aware that, you know, there are cliches about financial advisors. And, you know, we really want to kind of flip those cliches on its head. And we want clients to come in and walk out of these discovery meetings thinking to themselves as they go down in the elevator, wow, that was not at all what I thought. And that's our goal, is to really deliver something that exceeds expectations and continue to do that on a regular basis. So great. So thank you for listening. We're very excited. This is our halfway point. It's our sixth episode. So we're halfway through the season. It's been a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to the second half of the season. So stay tuned. So thank you very much for listening to another episode of More Than Wealth. We hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. And if you have, please subscribe. Until next time, remember, true wealth isn't about what you have. It's about what you become.
Thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at advisors.ubs.com/thegoldgroup. Or give us a call at 617-261-2662. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Gold Wealth Management Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
Please do not transmit orders or instructions regarding a UBS account by email. For your protection, UBS does not accept and act on such instructions. Similarly, UBS does not accept trading instructions via voicemail, text messages, instant messaging, or facsimile. Do not include information containing account numbers, social security numbers, credit card numbers, passwords, or other personal information. Please speak directly with your financial advisor if you need to give instructions related to your account. Please be advised that where data regarding your account and/or accounts is provided in this email, it should not be considered official UBS books and records, official UBS records. Official UBS records are documents such as confirmations, statements, and portfolio management reports, which UBS provides to you periodically. In some cases, the data shown is taken from internal UBS systems and fluctuates with market and transaction activity. Assets in your account and/or accounts that are not valued daily, for example, alternative investments and annuities, are accurately reflected only in official UBS records. You should review your official UBS records for disclosures about those values and all of the information needed to understand the data provided with this email. For non-clients, if you do not want to receive these types of commercial email messages, please click Mail to /WMA-ICBRU@UBS.com. In the subject line, please put, I wish to opt out of further communications, and indicate that you do not want to be contacted by email. For more information about how UBS processes your data, including how we protect your rights and respect your data, please refer to our privacy notice at https://www.ubs.com/global/en/legal/privacy/usa.html. If you're based in California, please refer to the California Privacy Notice at https://www.ubs.com/global/en/legal/privacy/ccpa.html. UBS Services, Inc. and UBS Bank USA are subsidiaries of UBS Group AG. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a member of SIPC, member FINRA, UBS Bank USA, member FDIC, NMLS number 947868.